This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting,
lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping,
banshee flying,
Space Mountain launching,
galaxy rewinding,
what is the whole network galaxy rewinding,
fireworks igniting, world of other worlds. For whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
The new Chicken Bacon Ranch Street Chalupa is a Taco Bell. You can't get just one. Okay, so that's not like some marketing hyperbole. You literally can't get just one. They come in twos. So like, if you want just one, you're going to need to find a friend who loves slow-roasted chicken, bacon, and avocado ranch sauce. Or a friend of a friend, or have an awkward conversation with a complete stranger to see if they're obsessed with chicken, bacon, and avocado ranch. Or you could just like eat them both because you're obsessed with slow-roasted chicken, bacon. Okay, you get the idea. The new Chicken Bacon Ranch Street Chalupa is a Taco Bell. At participating Taco Bell U.S. locations for a limited time while supplies last.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
You're listening to the Pennsylvania Woodsman, powered by Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network.
This show is driven to provide relatable hunting and outdoor content in the Keystone State and surrounding Northeast.
On this show, you'll hear an array of perspectives from biologists and industry professionals
to average Joes with a lifetime of knowledge.
All centered around values aiming to be better outdoorsmen and women,
both in the field as well as home and daily life.
No clicks, no self-interest, just delight in the pursuit of creation.
And now, your host, the man who's too good to stop for a roadkill deer to check it out, Mitchell Shirk.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Pennsylvania Woodsman. During the heart of November, the heart of the rut, the heart of breeding, had some chasing. Hopefully, we'll get some desperately seekers here throughout the rest of the season. But hard to believe we are going into the final weekend of archery season. Wait for this season to come all year long, excited, and as soon as it comes is as soon as it goes. And it's always a sad moment for me. But hey, as part of the change in times, we're getting towards bear season, then we get to rifle season, and it's just the progression, getting into the holidays, and I'm trying to enjoy every second of it. Speaking of the rut, we have a great rut conversation for us on this week's episode, and I'm going to reference a little bit about my hunt this weekend, because we recorded this episode last week, and we're going to reference some of what I'm doing this weekend and reference a lot about the guest, of course. But I wanted to talk a little bit about this past weekend before we get into this episode, because there's something cool that happened for me. So Friday, Saturday, I went to my camp, and this was basically the first hunt, real good hunt that I did archery wise this year. Had a few other sits other places. You know, I shot a doe locally with my bow, but I really have not hunted hard. And there's a couple reasons for that. But the true main reason has just been I have been in this funk. I've not had my drive to go archery deer hunting this year like I have had since I'm 12 years old. I mean, every single year since I'm 12 up until this point in my life, I have just been ate up consumed with archery hunting deer and trying to get the best buck with my bow that I can. And this year, I wasn't. Just was not that excited into it. And there's a couple of reasons for that. I think the main reason is because I did not do any sorts of preparation this off season between my work schedule and family schedule, and I just didn't. And truth be told, because of all that was going on in my life, it made the very little bit of free time I have, it made me be lazy. I was just flat out lazy, didn't want to do other stuff, and now I'm reaping the rewards of that this fall. And I accept that, but I said earlier that on another episode earlier this year, when I went archery hunting in October on a piece of game lands, I was really happy to be out, but I noticed that I said to myself, I would enjoy this so much more if I was at camp. I've always hunted at my cabin. I've never hunted my cabin hard for archery season, but I've had this in the back of the mind. I wanted to keep doing that. So anyway, fast forward to this past weekend. I went to my camp archery hunting for 2 days. Saturday was a little rough. I hunted all day, multiple places, did not see a deer. But Friday was a fantastic day for me. So going up, I knew with us having such a dry fall and knowing in the past what some dry years had produced, I wanted to check out some of the low areas, kind of the creek bottoms. First place I went to Saturday, I didn't see any deer on stand. However, I got down around 11 o'clock and put some boots on the ground just to check this area out since I was down there, and I did see some deer, and there was a spike buck up on its feet. I ended up taking a rest at one point for about 5 minutes. When I stood up, a small deer ran away. I saw a couple of deer in that instance. I climbed to the top. My dad was hunting with me. He didn't see a deer up on the top. There were hardly any trucks on the top. There was very little sign on the top. I just wasn't interested. And the top that I'm describing, this is an area I've hunted for a very long time. We've had a lot of success. And in the 2 days I learned there's just not deer there like other years. A lack of food, lack of attraction, whatever the reason is, there's just not sign, there's not deer there. So I started thinking, what am I going to do for for Friday evening's hunt? I'm playing this in my head. And I start going back to the creek bottoms. And I thought, well, if I go on the opposite side of this, if I go, you know, across this larger creek, there's all these hollows with these drainages that come down to this creek, and it's an area that I've been in, but I've never archery hunted, and I've looked at it for a long time, said, I should check it out. So I started thinking about this, where am I going to go, and I had to remember there's a very distinct point on this one mountain that we've done drives on in rifle season. I still hunted that area, and it always looks fantastic, and it's just a bunch of deadfalls, and the habitat type changes on this point. Of course, points are always interest of me. And this point leads right down into this creek bottom. And I started thinking about that, and I also remembered that this one hollow, 2019, I killed a buck at my camp with my rifle, and I took it down this hollow, and there's a very large old logging road that parallels the hollow on the bottom side. It goes all the way up the hollow. And I remember walking down that year. It was loaded with scrapes and rubs along this road. And that's a trend I've seen on a lot of old logging roads in the mountains and stuff. And I just decided, you know what? Let's go try this spot. So I walked up the road to a point where there was another trail that came off the point and led down to this other logging trail and set up there. And there was rubs, there was scrapes, all the stuff walking in. I purposely walked off of the trail for a good period of distance up through so I didn't have my ground scent on that trail because I was expecting deer to come down. Got all set up in my saddle and about 3, I think it was about 3:30. The wind was good the whole time. It was coming down. When I'm walking up, it was coming down. I'm setting up, it was coming down. It was doing everything it needed to do. But of course, it's mountain wind, and it was about maybe 70% of the time it was doing what it was supposed to, and the other 30% of the time it was not. And the wind, at one point, it starts blowing completely 180 degrees, and for a period of time, and it's going right to where I'm expecting deer to come down this road. I'm thinking, man, you got to be kidding me. This better change soon. And about the time I said that, after about 2 minutes, I threw some milkweed out and looked, and about 60 yards, I see a tail flip up, a deer turn around and take off up the mountain. And it was running through beech brush, but this is what I knew. It was a big deer, and I had no problem seeing antlers through the beech brush. So probably a good buck. A little bit disheartening that happened, but that's just the way it goes. Fast forward to about 4:45, I hear something coming down the ridge to my right, and look, and here comes a buck. And I looked at my binoculars. It was a nice 8-pointer. And I just decided, I've never shot a buck with my bow. I am going to try to make this happen. And it looked like he was going to just go straight down the point away from me. So I quick grabbed my grunt call and grunted because it was my last ditch effort. And fortunately or unfortunately, I didn't know it. He was behind some trees. He was actually turning and coming towards me before I grunted to him, because when I looked at him, he was way closer than he was the last time. So I put the deer on alert. And that didn't help my cause. He came into about 40 yards. I got situated. I drew back. He was facing me. I thought, okay, when he turns and goes down this opening, I'll take a shot. Well, of course, when he turns and goes down, he kind of trots. And then he goes faster and farther. And he misses my opening. And then I try to stop him in the next opening. And he stops, but not all of his vitals are exposed to me. And he's a lot farther than I wanted him to be. And I just didn't like it. And I let down. And by this point, he started working his way down the hill to where the wind was going 70% of the time. And he winded me. But that said, even though I didn't kill a deer, that relit an excitement for me that I've been missing all year. That just absolutely, like, it was a found drive for me. It made me want to hunt those woods so much more. It made me realize that being a little bit lazy in the off season, even from the physical standpoint, is just not good for what I enjoy doing. It made me realize I need to be doing stuff actively and trying to keep myself in better shape and be ready for these times, because climbing these mountains are unforgiving. But I love it. I enjoy it so much. And the fact that it took me 5 years to put this one piece of the mountain together for that hunt to unfold the way it did, I saw the mountain for the big picture and how I thought deer would move through it. And then they just happened to do that. So it made me feel good. And I realized, like, I need to do that 30 more times in these mountains and figure out all these places. And it just fueled the passion in me to try to go. So really cool experience. Really happy it did that. Stinks that I'm only getting that now at the end of archery season. But it's a season. And I know this season will come and go. And there'll be a next season. And there'll be an off season. And it's just the progression of my life and my journey as a bow hunter. And I'm just excited to share that with you. So speaking of our back to the rut conversation, we've got Grant Forney on, the Everyday Outdoorsman, back on the podcast, and we're going to discuss a whole bunch of antics of the rut, perspective of dates. We're going to talk about tactics, time in the tree, dealing with mental frustration that can occur within the rut. We're going to talk about calling a little bit. There's a lot of detail-oriented rut antics from about the first week of November up until the end of archery season. And we're going to break that down a little bit, just give our perspective on it and talk about some of our experiences. And I hope you really enjoy this conversation. So let's get to it. As always, a shout out to our partners. These are the people who support this show and make it happen so we can bring it to you weekly. And that's Radix Hunting. Guys, the Radix tree stands, blinds, the Monarch blind series. This is gear that I use archery hunting and turkey hunting. It's quiet, it's comfortable, it's priced well for folks like the everyday outdoorsman. M-Core cell cameras and the Gen 700 regular SD trail cameras, some of the best images I've seen. stick and pick accessories. Check out RadixHunting.com for all of your everyday bow hunting needs for sure, but deer hunting in general and a lot of your stuff that we're going to hunt back here in the eastern part of the country. Check out Radix Hunting. Also, Huntworth. This weekend, I was wearing base layers, kind of your silky base layers that I really think do a good job of keeping the heat in. I was wearing the Durham pants, which are the lightweight pants, but they've got pretty good protective material on your knees and on your rear end and stuff to kind of, you know, keep debris and moisture wick away. I really like those Durham pants. They're the lighter ones, but they were really good to maneuver around in the mountains. And then what I was doing was I had put on a fleece vest over top for walking around. That was kind of my insulation layer, and I'd use that to walk in, and then when I'd get to my tree and get to my tree stand, I would put my Elkins coat on, and that coat has a really good windbreaking liner in it, and it kept me warm even down into the 30s. There was no problem for me there. Really happy with that system, but check out all that Huntworth has to offer. If you're somebody who gets really cold, the heat boost, like the Saskatoon heavyweight layers, the heat boost technology, flawless stuff there, how well that keeps you warm and comfortable, and it doesn't have all the bulk that some of that big heavy clothing does. So be sure to check out Huntworth.com, and let's get to this week's episode with the Everyday Outdoorsman. Joining me on this week's show, a returning guest. I'm glad to have him on the show. Perfect time to be talking with him. Good to catch up with you, Grant. Grant from the Everyday Outdoorsman, pal. Thanks for sitting down with us tonight. How you been?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. First off, yeah, thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure. Always love talking some hunting, too. But I'm doing good. It's my favorite time of year. I've had a fun hunting season thus far, and I love deer hunting no matter what time of the season it is, but if I had to pick one time of the year to hunt, it would be right now during the rut. So this is my favorite time of year, so I'm looking forward here to some good rut hunting in the days ahead.
Yeah, let's hope. I mean, as we're recording this, we're going into the weekend of the 8th, 9th, 10th. And that weekend, you know, a lot of people have their favorite dates. I've heard a lot of people talk about their favorite dates being November 7th, 8th, 9th, whatever it is. We're going into that. But the thing that I think gets a lot of people excited, it has me a little bit excited. You know, we're right now, today when I was working, my truck said 76 degrees on my truck. And it was, you know, breezy, kind of that, not what you'd expect this first day. I'm looking ahead, the place that I plan to hunt Friday, the forecast from Thursday morning to Friday morning has a 12 degree drop in the low temperature. And, you know, to me, that gets me a little bit excited. I'm not going to sit here and say that that's 100% the key to shooting a big deer is waiting for that temperature swing, because I have shot some fantastic deer in 80 degrees, but I will say I enjoy hunting in that more. So that was a question I was having for you. Like, you've been hunting hard, you hunt hard a lot, Grant. And I was curious, you know, hot weather, we see a temperature drop. Is that one of the biggest things that you look for when you're looking ahead and planning hunts, is watching the weather, watching the temperature drop? What are things that gets you excited aside from just a date, a calendar date?
No, you hit it. You hit it spot on. The temperature drops, the cold fronts, that's what you're looking for. At least for me, I think that's the number one thing that gets me excited really at any point during the season, especially in October and November. When you get a temperature drop, in my opinion, there's nothing that'll shut down the movement more than warm temps, and there's nothing that'll turn it on more than a big temp drop and a cold front. So like you said, I'm fired up for these next few days, specifically Friday and Saturday. You know, I couldn't help but smile when you started talking about dates, and you always like to ask people, like, what are your favorite days of the rut? And it's like, that's a subject that I could talk for hours just on that. You know, it's like, I always kind of like to dive into that subject and ask guys what their thoughts and opinions are on it. But I think the weather plays such a big part in the rut and what we see, not the timing of the rut, But the movement that we get to see during daylight as hunters, I think temperature has a huge effect on that. So I think these next few days should be really good.
Hopefully
you and I both hit it pretty good.
I really hope so. I mean, I'm looking for some good hunting action. You know, I mean, when we're talking about the temperature drop, this is just my personal opinion or what I have noticed or kind of had a mental logbook about. I have noticed that when we start season the first Saturday, the closest to October 1st usually. And when I think about looking at the weather, you know, let's just say you've got that stretch in the beginning of October that's in that mid-50s into low 70s, and you have that continual swing into October. And then sometimes it's the first week, sometimes it's the second week into the third, whatever. But that first major cold snap you get, the one that takes your low temperatures from the mid-50s down to the mid to low 30s, you see that and I go, oh my gosh, that is going to be a fantastic day. I can't wait to get in the tree. That's going to be the best day of October so far. And I can't tell you how many times I have climbed into the tree, got all my warm clothing out, bundled into the tree, and I didn't see a freaking deer for the first 3 hours of my sit. And then it gets to be that time, 10 o'clock, and you're thinking, geez, and Pete's, nothing is going to happen. Then all of a sudden, boom, I start seeing deer. I've seen that on trail cameras. I've seen that in my personal sits. What I've noticed, it's for me, it seems like in October, you get that, you know, 10, 11 o'clock, and I just have better evening hunts. When you have that cold switch, I just don't have great morning hunts on that, like having those deer right at first light moving. I haven't seen that. But what I will say is once you get that first cold snap in October, and then you get into times like this where it is in the 70s, it's miserable, and then you look ahead and you see this forecast coming this weekend where it's going to be the low to mid 30s for the low, and it's in November, then I'm thinking, man, that's the kind of morning where when the light cracks, there's a good chance a good shooter's going to come right past me. I mean, what's been your experience when you think about cold fronts throughout archery season?
Pretty similar to what you described, I would say. The October cold fronts, they get me excited for sure, but they can still be hit or miss. It's like I've had times where I thought it was going to be a killer day and it wasn't anything like I thought it would be. I think I had better success on the evening hunts, like you said, too. The mornings, just like you described, I've had it too where they show up late morning. You get that late morning movement during the October cold fronts. But usually you can bank on it being pretty good, like this time of year, like those last 5 days of October or any time here during November, you get that. When you get that, that temp drop from, like, you know, this week, for example, like you said, you had what, 76 today? I think on my way here today, I saw 78 at one point for November 6th. It's just insane. And so you go from that, you know, from now, the temperature is going to be dropping all day tomorrow, tomorrow night, and then throughout Friday and Saturday. Those days should be awesome. I'll put it this way. Like I like to think of it like the bucks and the deer are going to be moving somewhere. The biggest question is, like, will we as hunters put ourselves in the right spot?
Oh, absolutely.
That's how the rut is. You know, it's like you got to be in the right spot to see it and to witness it. So, like, you can have days that are just completely dead just because you're in the wrong spot. You're just not where the deer are at. But if you're in the right spot, they're going to be moving. Those deer are moving somewhere for sure. And they will be, I'm pretty certain they will be Friday and Saturday. It's just a matter of being right place, right time, I think.
So I'm going to be open and vulnerable on this episode, and I'm going to let Grant give me his best advice. So this is the way my season's gone. I told you a little bit before, I have not really hunted a lot this year. Personal reasons and everything else, the way life goes, I just haven't deer hunted a lot. This weekend, I am jacked up. Not just because of the weather and everything we just talked about, but I'm going to my cabin. And one of my things I'd really like to do is shoot a good buck at my cabin. Now, that said, I have done absolutely zero scouting and preparation for the 2024-2025 hunting season at that location. So I don't have my expectations set very highly. So I've got a couple ideas of how I want to approach this. I have some areas that I know historically, whether it's from cameras I've had out in the past, hunting experiences I've had in those areas. I know some places that could be good, but I've got 2 days to hunt and I'm trying to figure out how I would approach it. And I've got two thoughts. I thought about going in blind to some areas and just hanging a stand and then scouting. The other thought I had was maybe taking my shotgun for a walk. Maybe I'll find some grouse and some turkeys along the way and also find some deer sign. But I'm curious, when I give you that description, you're going into an area blind on what could be the best days we've seen this year. I mean, number one, I'm still trying to figure out what my expectations are for myself. That's not for you to answer. But what I would say is, how would you approach a situation like that?
It's a really good question. We're gonna get really into the nitty gritty here, the details of how to approach some rut hunts. I think here would be my thoughts. I think, well, you talked a little bit about historical hunting in past years, or maybe historical trail camera data even. I think if you haven't scouted this season, you've gotta go off that historical knowledge a little bit. And in my opinion, we're into a portion of the season now where your in-season scouting, like, might not be as important. I think, like, if you go for a walk in the woods right now and you're looking for sign, I think there's a pretty good chance that you're too late on the sign already, if that makes sense. So, like, I think you almost have to go more so by your knowledge of that area from the past, land features, funnels, pinch points. Use any knowledge you have of doe bedding areas to possibly set up on the downwind side of a doe bedding area. If it were me looking at it, that's probably how I would approach it. Like, I would e-scout it or use whatever knowledge you have of that area in the past. And I'd probably pick whatever you think is the best pinch point or funnel to catch a buck cruising through, with the hopes that on Friday and Saturday, bucks are going to be covering ground. They're going to be cruising for a hot doe if they're not already with one. So I'd say that's one option, is a funnel or a pinch point. And number two would be the downwind side of doe bedding that you know of, if you know of any in that area from your past years hunting there.
Absolutely.
I would say that would be how I would look at it. And I'd probably pick one of those two things. If you know a doe bedding area, or you have a funnel or a pinch point where you've hunted before, or you've ran a camera before and had bucks running through it. Obviously things can change from year to year, but they can be consistent too. So I would say that wouldn't be a bad move, would be pick one of those two things, go in, hang a set, sit it all day Friday, see what happens. If it were me, that's probably what I would do.
I like that. And I have to say, a lot of that I would echo myself. One of the things that I have in my mind, I'm going to describe the spot I'm thinking of. There's a spot that we've done some deer drives on, and I've had some cameras on and kind of watched deer. And there's some, you know, sometimes it's a very distinct, it's a sharp point. It's a pretty steep ridge, bends basically 90 degrees, goes out to the north and then cuts back to the east. And on this point, there's a pretty nice bench before it drops off. And I've run a camera out on a scrape there the past few years. And I've noticed, you know, this time of year, sometime between, you know, the 5th, 6th, 7th up through until right before bear season, I'll get deer that cruise this ridge a lot. And basically what I'm looking at is it's a long range connection point, kind of a focal point between, you know, on these mountains. And kind of what I'm looking at in that area in general is, you know, you look at one point on a mountain here, you look at one point on a mountain here, and there's a bench, you know, 100 yards below it that comes out to this way, and there's a bench below it that comes out to this point, and it all comes to one central location. And I'm just trying to think, how can I get multiple intersections of this mountain and hope that that's going to then funnel deer down. Because it's big woods. There is chop-offs in the area, but some of the places I'm looking at are like backside of chop-offs. It's big. It's monotonous. It might not work, but at the same time, it makes the most sense for if you get a 12-degree drop in temperature, where in theory, and the way my mind works, is there's probably not a lot moving a long distance, but maybe that temperature swing, maybe, you know, who knows what receptive doe are like, but hopefully that's enough to just get a deer on one of those benches or one of those ridges, and at some point, boom, he's in my lap and I've got these multiple points of intersection, and hope that works. That's kind of what I've got to go on in this situation.
Yeah, that sounds like a killer setup to me. I think anytime during the rut, especially on a couple of days like this where we think the bucks are going to move and cover some ground if they're not already with a hot doe, if you can, like you said, have as much coming together in one spot as you can, that's a killer setup. Multiple ridges coming into one spot or whatever the case may be. You know, just any type of a major intersection. That sounds like a pretty good setup for this weekend, especially like if you have, you know, you're saying you have some historical data there too of running a camera there, seeing bucks moving through there during this time of year. That sounds like it'd be a smart play in my mind.
Hey, let's hope. It sounds good in my head, but we're going to play it out and see what happens. And the biggest thing that I'm going to try to do with this is I'm not going to set my expectations overly high. I'm not going to go into this thinking, hey, the best deer I've had on the camera the past 3 years, I'm probably going to kill him in this situation. I don't know that because so much has changed. I don't know if the pressure changed in this spot from 1 year to the next. I don't know how much different the food sources is. This year is extremely dry. Is that going to have a change in deer being high versus low? And like I said, that's where I said I'm going to be vulnerable. I don't know. I didn't do the work. But you know what? What I am going to do is I'm going to go to a place I enjoy to hunt. I'm going to try to have as much fun as I can. I'm going to try to be successful, but I'm going to embrace that adventure for what it is. So one of the questions I had for you, you know, you talked about the date range and really liking to talk about dates. So let's do that for a second. As we sit, it's November 6th as we're talking here. We're talking about the 8th and the 9th being looking fantastic. And then we've got, you know, 8th, 9th, all the way up until bear season, which I believe if the calendar's in front of me, I want to say it's like the 23rd this year. So we have archery season statewide up until the 22nd. So we've got a solid 2 weeks and 2 days from the time we're recording this to try to kill a buck with the bow. Walk me through however you want to break that 2 weeks down. Like, what are you looking at the next 2 weeks as far as your hunting scheme and how you view the woods, how you move your sets and stuff like that?
If you're looking to simplify your food plot system while enhancing the quality of your soil, you need to check out Vitalize Seed Company. Vitalize provides top quality seed blends designed to fit into their 1-2 planting system. The system has been designed to allow highly diverse plant species to grow synergistically, optimizing nutrient uptake and cycling the way God intended. Reduce your inputs, build your soil, and maximize the quality tonnage for the wildlife in your area. Find out more about this system and get your seed at vitalizeseed.com, and be sure to check them out on Instagram and Facebook.
Dreaming of owning a hunting property, small farm, or remote homestead? Or maybe it's time to sell and move on to your next adventure. Whatever your dream is, Steve Choco and Base Camp Country Real Estate can make it happen. Base Camp Country Real Estate land professional Steve Choco is dedicated to providing unparalleled service in the land real estate market. With national advertising power that turns for sale into sold fast, visit us online at chocoforester.com or call Steve today at 814-360-4510. Again, 814-360-4510.
Yeah, no, really good question. I think you look at it from a big picture, like we said at the beginning, a lot of it's weather dependent. So any couple day stretch in these 2 weeks where you have the best weather, it's like those would be the, you know, the better days to hunt in my mind. Now, let's pretend weather is created equal here over these next 2 weeks. Let's mm-hmm. just like, let's take it out of the equation, specifically talk about dates. I think you got to ask yourself like what your goals are. I think it all depends. Like if somebody's hunting one specific deer, well, then that changes everything. I think if you're hunting an area and just hunting for any buck in that area that makes you happy, I think, the sixth, I would say the next several days here, like the 7th to around the 12th, I would lean towards hunting funnels and pinch points. If it were me, that's probably what my strategy would be for the most part. You get into those double digit days of November, that middle part of November where the estrus bell curve kind of reaches its peak, you know, from like maybe the 12th through the 20th or 12th to the 18th, I guess is like in our area, what would be considered the peak of the estrus, what some guys would consider, you know, the lockdown phase, so to speak, of the rut. That's a whole nother topic, I guess. But that phase where the majority, where you have the most does in estrus that you're going to have during the rut, that's the phase where I think you'll lean towards hunting the downwind side of doe bedding areas. That would be my strategy. So, and if you dive into it a little more, like, I think if you're hunting for the biggest buck in the woods, like the giant, the one that's 4, 5, 6 years old or more, the biggest buck or two in your area, I think your chances to kill that buck are a little bit later. I think your chances to kill that biggest buck in the woods are a little bit better right after the peak of the estrus. From what I have seen on trail cameras and seen in the woods, I think that would be my opinion. If you're hunting for just, you know, any buck or, you know, a solid 2 or 3 year old buck, right now is probably going to be your best days of the year, you know, from right now, the 6th through the 10th or 12th. I think that's really going to be the peak of our buck movement when these bucks are still needing to cover a decent amount of ground to find a doe in estrus. We're still right before, you know, a ton of does are coming into estrus. We've obviously got some, but we're before that peak. So,
right.
So we're going to see good buck movement. Not that you can't see the biggest buck in the woods over right. the next couple of days. You very well could. It's just, I think your chances are a little bit lower because since he's the dominant buck in the area, it's easier for him to find his next estrus doe. So he's got to spend. So that's the way I always look at it. I try to look at the rut from the viewpoint of a buck, right? So like, if you look at it through the eyes of a big buck or a mature buck, the biggest buck in the woods, he's going to find a hot doe, tend her. When she's out of estrus, he's going to go find his next one. Especially if you're hunting in a high doe population area, he doesn't have to search that hard to find his next hot doe. When he finds her, he's going to be able to kick off whatever buck is with her. Mm. And so then he's got his next doe. So it just decreases our chances as a hunter of catching him in between does, if that makes sense. So when you get after the peak of the estrus, when those big monsters have to search a little bit harder for their next doe, that's when our chances get a little bit better of seeing one of those ones.
You've heard the story of the old bull and the young bull in the pasture, right?
I don't think I have.
So there's an old bull and there's a young bull, and they're standing at the top of the hill in the pasture, and they're looking down in the valley, and they see this huge herd of heifers. And the young bull says to the old bull, "Hey, we should run down the hill and we should breed one of those heifers." And the old bull looks at him and says, how about we walk down and let's breed them all? And the joke I say with that when I make this joke with deer is, I have seen mature deer like you're talking about. I have seen them when you get into that time where, like, end of October or November, beginning of November, when young bucks are running crazy and they're hitting scrapes and they're responding to calls and they're doing this and they're chasing, they're going wild. I've seen them do that. And at the same time, I've seen a mature deer get downwind of a scrape, smell that scrape, or there's a group of does that a little buck is chasing, and a bigger buck will see them and not respond to them. And it's because he knows they're not receptive yet. But he'll know, with a couple years of experience, he knows when the local doe groups of that area become receptive. And that's like when I think about the spot here down at home that I hunt sometimes, I know there's a window in this third-ish week of October that a doe becomes receptive, because every single year I see a deer that is 3.5 years old or older and that I haven't seen all year shows up, and he'll be here for about 24 to 72 hours and he's usually with a doe. And it's for that very reason. Yeah. They know when. So they move, I think, a little bit more methodically. And while obviously you can still see a good buck do some stupid things, I saw one of the biggest bucks I've ever seen get killed by a friend of mine last year. It was killed November 1st or 2nd, and it was a cold snap, and it was all those things you dream about and you'd expect, and it was you know, 160-inch deer. That still happens, don't get me wrong. But it does seem like, from my cameras, that after the 15th, after that peak breeding, it does seem like they get a little vulnerable. And I've heard one person I've heard say that a lot, and it's a person that I respect a lot as far as outdoor hunting and personnel, is Lee Lukoski. You know, I've heard him say many times that if I'm going to kill the deer I want to kill, I'm either going to kill him the first week of the season when it opens in October, or I'm going to kill him right around Thanksgiving or right before Thanksgiving.
Yep. Yeah. No, I think I agree with that. I think, you know, there's a lot of people that would agree with that. Like, that's probably your best times to kill the biggest one in your area, you know, the true giant. So it seems like, they're vulnerable. You know, if you can get them real early, you know, on a pattern still. And then I think there's a small window where they're pretty vulnerable. Like in our area, the very end of October, those last 4 days of October, when they're probably looking for the first estrus doe. Or they're going, like you said, they're going to head to that area where, from their historical knowledge, they know, like, a doe is going to come into this, a doe is going to come into heat, you know, in this area at this time. Like for you, you said you have an area like that. That's, like the third week of October.
That's right.
That's even a little before, you know, I think a lot of people would see it, but, I think there's certainly a window there where they're vulnerable, when just like that first doe is coming into estrus. And then, like you said, and like you said, Lee Lukoski says, right after the peak of the estrus, where it's getting harder for them to find the next estrus doe. And they know
it's like the last
it's coming to an end. So they're kind of desperately seeking, last couple estrus does. So, like you said, anything can happen. You can see one of those now too, here, kind of during the middle of it. But yeah, it's an interesting topic. It's the rut. The rut is it's an interesting thing, man.
I'm curious.
That's for sure.
I'm curious your perspective from location. So you and I are both kind of in the southeastern part of Pennsylvania here, and, you know, hunt different areas down here. And then I know that you travel up to northern Pennsylvania to hunt as well, and as do I. As I said, I'm doing this coming weekend. I have heard a theory that other hunters have shared with me, that they feel that the northern part of the state is a few days behind the southern part of the state. So that way, if they see really, really good activity in one part in southern state, maybe they'll go up to camp later the week and still have that same activity. I have zero experience in this. Is that something that you would say plausible or myth?
I think it's plausible. I'm a little bit 50-50 on that theory, but I would say, like, I'll lean a little bit more towards it's plausible, because I have seen that to a certain degree. I think there's so many factors that can go into it, but I would say that, yes, I would say some of my best hunts that I can ever think of farther south were maybe just a few days before my best hunts I've ever had up north here. Like I think back to, you know, all my rut hunts, and it's like, I would say up here in northern PA, some of the best days I can ever remember having are right in and around the 7th, 8th, 9th, even 10th to 12th. It seems like those are some of the best days. And down south farther, I would say my best days might be just a hair before that, okay, historically. But it's tough. I think it's weather dependent too, like we always say, and just so many factors, you know. So I'll say plausible to answer the question. I'll say plausible.
Hey, fair enough. It makes sense to me. One question I had for you too, when you think about tactics and things that you take into the woods, One of the things I rarely hear people talking about is clashing antlers together or using calling sequences, like blind calling. Is that something that you do? Are you taking antlers with you in the woods? I mean, I typically always carry a grunt call. What are the things you like to take in the woods in regards to communicating with deer?
I don't take antlers with me. I don't rattle. Long time ago when I was real young, I might have rattled a time or two. But as of now, don't take antlers with me into the woods to rattle in this area, these areas that we hunt here in Pennsylvania and then in the Northeast. I'm not saying it couldn't work, but for me, it's just, I just decide it's not worth taking the antlers with me. But I always have a grunt call and a doe bleat with me. Always. How often I will blind call, I guess, just depends on how I'm feeling about the area, the setup, what kind of day it is, what the date is, all those things. If I see a shooter buck out of range, I will usually always make an effort to try to call him in if I think it's plausible to do so. I think you try to wait until, you know, you try to wait until that buck is as far upwind of you as he's going to get, because, you know, most of the time they're going to try to circle downwind of you to figure out what the source of that sound was. But if I think back, like the times that I've had the most success calling in a deer that I have eyes on, or calling in a buck that I have eyes on that's out of range, is when they are directly upwind of me. You know, and the theory there is like they don't feel like getting the whole way downwind of you. That's when I've had the most success with that. And like, usually if it's a buck that's out of range that's one I want to shoot, usually I'll grunt first. Usually that's what I'll do. I guess, occasionally that's probably what I'll start with. And then I'll doe bleat if he doesn't respond to that, see what happens. I have not had a ton of success doing that. It has worked for me some, calling in bucks. As far as blind calling, I'll do it some, not often. I've had it work a time or two, but I would say for the most part, like, my rut setups are intended to catch a buck that's going to travel through there and hopefully travel through in range without, you know, needing to be called in. Like, if I'm sitting a funnel or a pinch point or the downwind side of a doe bedding area, just hoping that he cruises that downwind side, scent checking for does. And, you know, hopefully I'm in a tree or in a spot that's gonna put him in range of me anyways. Right. So I guess that's probably why I don't blind call a ton during the rut. But maybe I should more. Who knows?
That's a conversation one person to the next could always have a different experience, a different exposure. And I think when it comes to blind calling, there's a little bit of almost like when you're calling to turkeys, you got to take their temperature and you just got to find the right one in the mood. Like last year, the buck that I killed, I actually rattled in, and that was a deer that I barely put the antlers together. And he ran to the base of my tree and I killed him. And I said, I was like, I've never, ever done that. I did this on a whim just because I literally before I left, I saw my antlers, my rattling antlers sitting there on a hook in my garage. I'm like, I'm going to try it tonight just because I want to. and it worked. And any other time that never works. And you know, what you just described is I don't take antlers. I don't blind call that much. That's been me almost all of my deer hunting life for that exact reason. I haven't had a lot of success. So for whatever reason, and that I think that happens all the time. Let's talk a little bit about all day sits. I've heard a lot of people say that this time of year is the day you sit all day long. So from your perspective, is that a date-based thing? Is that a weather-based thing? Do you hunt all day, but maybe switch stand locations? If you've got any schemes going on in your head that you're going to try to play out for the next 2 weeks as archery season lasts, that you're looking as far as why I would sit in this stand all day versus not this one, or something along those lines.
Yeah, really good question. I think it is date and probably even more so weather based. I think from, like, here we are on the 6th, for the next 2 weeks, if the weather is right, I would pretty much sit any setup you could think of all day. That's just me. I've had rut hunts where I'm even sitting a food source and done all day sits and just had killer movement midday. Funnels, downwind side of doe bedding areas, pretty much no matter what the setup. If it was me and the weather is right, the temps are either average or below average for that time of year, I'm sitting it all day in this region of the country here where we hunt in Pennsylvania in the Northeast. Like, I couldn't tell you how many rut hunts I've had where the best part of the day was from 10 to 2. If the weather is cold, I probably have more confidence shooting a buck at noon than I do at first light this time of year.
Wow.
Honestly, I really do. I see if the weather is cold, I probably see just as many bucks, if not more, from 10 to 2. Than I do first light or in the evening. That's how much confidence I have in the midday during the rut, you know, from pretty much this point moving forward for these next couple of weeks. If the weather's warm, you know, in my mind, I'll still sit all day some of the time. You can still get midday movement. It's just probably a little bit less likely than what it would be if it were colder. Like if you're gonna have action midday on a warm or a hot rut hunt, it's probably gonna be a doe. It's probably gonna be an estrus doe or a doe that's just about to come into heat that is running away from a buck and the buck is right on her, like, you know, just a hot chase.
Absolutely.
That's probably what it's gonna be. And I've seen that happen. You're probably less likely on the really warm days during midday to just see a buck out cruising on his own. I think from my experience, So that, yeah, that would be my perspective on it. Like, kind of no matter what your setup is, in my opinion, if you're hunting in PA or in the Northeast, I think you gotta sit all day. If the temps are either average or below average, I think you're just missing the best part of the day. If you get down and switch stands, yeah, you can get down and maybe switch stands pretty quickly. If you're really feeling like, hey, there's somewhere else I gotta be. But you want to maximize your time in the tree, I think, and be in a tree as many hours and minutes as you can during that middle part of the day, this time of year.
Absolutely.
No matter what setup you're sitting, like I said.
Now, one of the things too, let's face it, all day sits are mentally taxing. They can really weigh on you because, you know, we're talking about deer showing up at any time and we're focusing on the best of the best times. But I've been in the woods many times during November and you think, like, this is the rut? Where in the world are all the, there's nothing here. And it's not like this spot is burned out. I've been to spots where there's been deer on camera. I haven't been there all season. It's been untouched. This should be on fire. The wind is right. And it's just not working for me. That has happened. And I remember a couple times, there was one morning in particular, I was hunting on one end of a mountain, and it was like void of deer. I don't think there was living creatures in that portion of the woods. But you went a couple hundred yards, half a mile to the east at another section of the mountain, and I had friends that were over there like, man, there's deer everywhere. They're running. There's a buck over here. There's a buck over there. I don't know which way to turn. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what in the heck? I can't pay somebody to get a buck past me. So my question for you then is, I'm sure you've seen situations like that. Do you find yourself doing crazy things where I'm just going to get down and go see if I can find deer this time of year? They've got to be hiding somewhere. So, or do you say, man, I know I'm in a good spot. I know if I'm just patience and persistence is going to kill deer. How do you view that? Because I don't think there's a right or wrong way in viewing that. I think it comes down to the personal antics of how you like to hunt. So, like, what's your take when you get into those just mentally taxing times during the rut?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. The rut can just be such a weird thing like that, where it gets so much hype, but, you know, people got to remember, like, it can be completely dead. Like you said, like, you're going to have, you know, if you hunt for a week, half the days might be completely dead or even more than half. And you might get one or two that are just magical and on fire. But to answer your question, I'm the type of person where more times than not, I'm going to ride it out in a spot. If I know it's a spot I have confidence in, it's a spot I've had good hunts during the rut in years past, I'm usually going to ride it out. And that can be so mentally challenging. Like, if you're sitting there and it's dead for a day, 2 days in a row, you know, it can be so hard to just stick it out. But I've just had it happen so many times where if you stick it out, you know, eventually you're in them. And so that's kind of my style. Like, I'll use these next 3 days as an example. We got this temperature drop coming. It's going to be the 7th through the 9th here. I am picking my best funnel that I have the most confidence in. This summer and early fall, I had in this area, I've had 5 different bucks on trail camera that I would be thrilled to shoot. I'm picking my best funnel in that area, and I am going to sit it from daylight till dark for the next 3 days, no matter what. I don't care if I don't see a deer the whole first 2 days. I'm sitting there the third day, no matter what. Cause the way I see it, if it's a funnel, if it's a good pinch point and a good funnel that, you know, has been good years past, it's like the more days in a row you sit it, the higher your chances get almost. Like, it's not one of those things where you're worried about bumping deer, going in and out of the stand. Like, you're hunting for a buck that's coming through that funnel for the first time in days or the first time all season, really. So you're not worried about how much pressure you're putting on that stand. You're kind of playing the percentage game, right? You know, at least in my example here. So I'm the type of guy that's going to grind it out in the same spot. If I think it's going to be a good one, you know, I'll sit it several days in a row.
Good deal.
For however long it takes.
Yeah. Sometimes that's the way it goes. Sometimes it is just a matter of being patient. Yeah. I am not a good rut hunter. I'm just not. I don't have the patience to sit the way you're describing. I have not had a lot of good luck doing that. And I've said this before, when it gets into November and I haven't shot a buck, I usually get nervous because I don't really do well. I don't view the woods from that long range pinch point. I've always been the early mid season food and find scrapes, and I haven't capitalized on that because I haven't hunted. So this is a challenging thing for me. So, you know, this might be repeating yourself with things we already talked about in this podcast, but if you had to give one, two, maybe three pieces of advice to somebody like me or somebody who's not as experienced when it comes to the rut, what are some of the biggest things or biggest takeaways that you would give somebody going into the last 2 weeks of archery season?
Yeah, I think... Don't overthink it, really, is a broad, you know, a broad piece of advice. Like we talked about earlier, you know, sit your funnels, your pinch points, and your downwind side of doe bedding areas. Don't overthink it. I think if you stick to those setups and you put hours in, like be persistent and be patient, in those spots. That's really the two biggest pieces of advice I think that I could give is, you know, don't overthink it. Just hunt those setups and then just put the time in, you know, just mentally grind it out, sit in the stand, put the hours in, and, you know, hopefully you'll have some good luck. I would say those are my two biggest pieces of advice, really. And don't try not to get discouraged. Like you mentioned earlier, like you'll be talking to your friends that are hunting down the road and it's on fire. Like that's how it is this time of year. Like one guy's in them, the next guy's not. And the next day it could be the complete opposite. Like I don't want to say don't pay attention to reports, but like in some ways you have to just block out what other guys are seeing from your mind, because it can almost hurt you and get you more discouraged, you know, than it'll do helping you. So sure. Like I try to not even pay too much attention to like what other guys are seeing down the road and stuff like that. I think it's just something you gotta worry about yourself that time of year, and just know that even if it's slow a day or two in a row, like it could turn on like a light switch, you know, that next day.
I like it. Makes sense. Well, with that in mind, I think that's a good point to put a pin in this conversation. We'll have to revisit this at some point because, hey, let's face it, the rut is happening. You are hunting hard. I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, you're at camp as we speak, right?
I am. Yep. Just got up here today. I was hunting the last 5 or 6 days down around home, a little bit in Maryland, a little bit in PA there around home. And then with today being the warmest day of the week, I decided to use today as my afternoon to drive up here to camp. So saw the temp drop coming and knew that I wanted to be in a tree starting tomorrow. Up here. So yep, just got up here today and I'm going to be here for the foreseeable future here for a good part of, you know, good part of the rut here. So we'll see what happens. Should be fun. Next 3 days, especially.
Yeah, fewer places I would rather be than that. I said to, I'll leave it at this. So I was talking about having fun and the rut and deer hunting, and I've said it a couple of times that I'm a little bit off with how I feel about deer hunting this year, and I've come to the conclusion. I was talking to this about this with Aaron Hepler the other day, and I said, I said my days of trying to squeak a hunt in close to home, getting in the stand after work, you know, sitting for an hour and then doing this or trying to, you know, squeeze a hunt in at, you know, this spot before work or, you know, whatever. Those days of squeaking hunts in are not as fun for me as they used to be. And I think it's just because of everything that goes on in my life now currently that it's not as fun. But you know what I am looking forward to is everything we just talked about the deer hunting antics and tactics and everything else there. I'm looking forward to that in the setting where I'm going to go away for 2 days and I am not going to have cell service and I'm going to be with just me and my dad at camp in a place that's big and it's nostalgic and it's beautiful and I'm not going to hear highways. I'm going to hear like I used to hear people talk about that and I just rolled my eyes because I was always looking for the biggest deer I could find and the biggest deer I could find were close to home and it was all those places just described. It's shifted for me. So now I'm chasing what is fun and that is what is fun. So that's what I'm really, really looking forward to.
Yep. No, that's what it's all about. We can, you know, sit here all day and talk about strategy and big bucks and this and that, and at the end of the day, people just got to remind themselves it's all about fun. Like it's not about shooting the biggest buck in the woods. It's not about punching your tag. Just get out there and enjoy it. You know, whether it's on your own with friends and family, enjoy this time of year, enjoy the rut, and just have fun.
Yeah, if it ain't fun, if it ain't fun, you got to change something.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So. No, it sounds like you're going to have a lot of fun on that hunt coming up this weekend, and I know I'm going
to
too.
Yeah, you too for sure. So keep me in the loop how you do. I'll be anxious to see it. I know you're going to be posting stuff. I'm anxious to see more videos coming out. You know, real quick, anything going on when it comes to the Everyday Outdoorsman? You know, guys, if you're not following and watching the Everyday Outdoorsman on YouTube or following them on social media, Instagram, Facebook, that sort of thing, please do give them some love and follow because they produce great contact and, you know, content. And the one thing I want to say too is your title, the Everyday Outdoorsman, I think it is the perfect title for what you guys do because it is so relatable to people like me who work their tail off and love to go hunting, and the content you produce is so relatable and it's enjoyable to watch. So please, guys, give that a follow if you haven't. But hey, anything to add on that before we let you go?
Yeah, no, I mean, thanks for the kind words, Mitchell, but no, that's about it. Yeah, we just putting out videos on YouTube, as you said, you know, trying to get them out, you know, semi lifestyle. It's only so quick we can get them up, but we do our best, you know, to keep that content coming. And then we're posting content on social media, on Instagram and Facebook too, with posts and stories. So that's how you can kind of keep up with us, what we're doing from day to day, and more of a live format. So yeah, definitely check us out if you haven't already, and yeah, appreciate the support from anybody, and appreciate the chance to be on the podcast here, Mitchell. Always enjoy coming on with you, and I think you do a great job with this too. So thanks for all of your work. And yeah, like I said, thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it. And I always look forward to the next one. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Mitch.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
Experience a membership that backs what you're building with American Express Business Platinum. Enjoy complimentary access to the American Express Global Lounge Collection and a welcome offer of 200,000 points after you spend $20,000 on purchases on the card within your first 3 months of membership. American Express Business Platinum. There's nothing like it. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/business-platinum.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.